And welcome back to Pop Topic. I am your host, Quentin Philipson, and with me to discuss the latest news of the first week of November 2020 is Tristan Philipson. How are you doing this week?
Doing good.
So anything new going on? I haven't spoken to you. Well, I guess it's been like 24 hours. I saw you yesterday, but anything new going on?
Not much. I'm watching some movies. Have you seen that new Netflix movie? I came out a couple weeks ago, The Babysitter's Guide to Monster Hunting.
I don't believe so. I saw Babysitter Killer Queen, but I'm guessing that's not the same movie.
That's a sequel to the other Babysitter movie, right?
Yeah.
No, this one's a completely new Babysitter series here. Critically acclaimed, going for several Oscars, I'm sure. It was pretty okay, but the thing I really enjoyed about it was how they didn't just decide to set up a sequel, because at this point, set up one sequel is just too easy. They decided to set up the next six movies in a row for this franchise. They clearly got some real high hopes for the Monster Hunter Guide for Babysitters or whatever.
Wow, yeah, look at Netflix go. They're really trying to go for these universes similar to Marvel.
Yeah, real ambition. Not one, but two different Babysitter universes.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there's another series called The Babysitter, yeah, maybe Netflix just has a thing for babysitters.
And monsters. One is about babysitters hunting monsters. The other one's where babysitters are monsters, or vampires, which I guess are like some sort of monster thing, right?
Yeah, close enough. Yeah. They're into a very specific demographic here. Babysitters and monsters.
They're really covering the babysitter market big here.
If you're
a babysitter, there's only one streaming service to get.
if you got a really hot babysitter, it's just your thing. You know who's got your back? Netflix.
Netflix, yeah. The babysitter fetish community is loving what Netflix is doing right now.
Oh, fetish. Yeah, that was the word I was thinking of. Yeah, monster and babysitter fetish.
Yeah, although the Monster Hunter guy one, I think they're all like 13, so.
Oh, okay.
Let's keep it appropriate here, guys.
Yeah, okay. Maybe not the right word.
Yeah, those people are watching cuties instead.
Yeah, hey, maybe it is the right word then. Yeah, 13-year-old monsters and babysitters. There you go. Any other films you've been watching, or have you just been watching that on repeat this week? The Babysitter Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I've really been cramming and getting ready for the next six. But I watched West Side Story for the first time last night.
Nice.
That was pretty okay. It feels like an old movie. It feels old. It wasn't bad. It was just, like, you could tell this was made in the 60s. Like, some movies like that are made in the 60s, like Psycho and stuff, like, they're timeless. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you watch Psycho now and it holds up. Like, it feels like this could have been made last year. Like, West Side Story was clearly an old movie. It really feels its age, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I've never seen West Side Story yet.
It was a little generic, I felt. Like, maybe at the time it didn't feel so generic, right? You know what I mean? But now the story kind of feels done. And the music in it, I thought, was only okay. I've seen better music in a lot of other movies as far as the music aspect of the musical went. It wasn't bad. It wasn't a terrible movie.
Yeah, and if
Borat 2 came out this week, Borat 2, anyone hasn't seen that one yet. That is fantastic.
Oh, you've seen it?
I have. Have you seen it?
Yes. So we have something to talk about later for one of the stories.
Oh good. What did you think of it?
I liked it. Yeah, it was good. I wouldn't call it fantastic, but it was good.
I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it was hilarious. One of the funniest things I've seen in a long time.
One
of the funniest movies in a long time.
I saw both of them for the first time, back to back.
I haven't seen the first one in about 4 years now. And I remember liking the first one, but I don't remember loving the first one. I feel like if I went back and watched it now, I'd probably appreciate it more. Just as I've gotten older, I'd probably appreciate it more now than I did the first time I watched. I remember really liking it, but not loving it.
Yeah, I've never seen either, but I watched them both for the first time. And yeah, the first one is significantly better. It's very good.
I don't know. I thought the second one was so funny. I really thought the humor, it hit out of the park. I thought every joke landed. I thought I was laughing the whole time.
Oh, okay, well, that's good. That was me with the first one.
More timeless. I think the second one is only really funny if you watch it in the year of our Lord 2020.
Yeah, that's true. Borat 2 is very set in 2020.
It's 2020. It's probably the de facto documentary of 2020 at this point.
That is fair. Yeah, so that's pretty much all I've been watching is the new films that came out this week. I saw Rebecca and Borat 2.
How, Haven't seen Rebecca yet. I'm still catching up on all my Netflix movies. I just watched the first half of Spencer Confidential before we did this podcast here.
Well, Rebecca is a Netflix original, so you got that.
That's why. Then I'm going to watch like Extraction, and then I'm going to watch Rebecca, I think. I've seen most of the other Netflix original live action stuff. I saw some of their animated movies to catch up. I've seen Over the Moon yet.
That's been
getting some pretty good.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
That's a new Netflix animated film. I think they're going for best animated feature, but from what I hear, it's probably not going to get it, but I hear it's still pretty solid.
Yeah, no, I've heard it's really good, and, you know, if Soul wasn't coming out, I'm sure it would get it.
I don't know, man. I still think Onward's a real strong contender for best animated picture
this year. Well, me and you love Onward, but it does seem to be one of the more disliked Pixar films.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, like, Toy Story 4 still won it, and that wasn't, like, that was light, but it wasn't beloved.
Yeah, me and you didn't like Toy Story 4, but that one still had really great reviews from critics. So the critics just don't like this one.
Just from the way it looks, Soul really does seem to be an Oscar-pushed one, and it looks amazing. I'm super excited for Soul.
Yeah.
And although all other genres this year have really fallen flat because of COVID and movies pushed back, animation is the one category where every big animated movie still came out this year one way or another.
Well, except for Raya, movie. Right?
Except what?
Except for Raya.
Right. Is it Raya or Raya?
Either. I don't know. One of them. Raya.
Oh, okay. Raya. You're right. I forgot that was supposed to be this year.
Yeah, it's supposed to be November.
It's supposed to be November. End of November, I think. Okay, yeah. So except for that one, I guess every other big major animated film was supposed to go this year did. So it's been a pretty good year for animated films, honestly. I think this year has been pretty solid for animation.
The only good animated film I've seen so far is Onward, but I haven't seen Over the Moon or Soul, obviously. So
yeah, and I think Trolls World Tour, solid film, like not winning best Oscar or anything.
Yeah, I've never seen that either.
But it was, I thought it was a solid as far as DreamWorks, you know, a modern day DreamWorks movie. One of the better ones DreamWorks has had in a while, from my memory.
Well, they just had How to Train Your Dragon 3 last year. What are you talking about?
How to Train Your Dragon movies, all of those hold up. Those are all good.
Yeah. How dare you? Yeah. I liked
that
movie.
Got them good stuff.
Yeah, you know, DreamWorks just knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, well, they're doing better than some companies like Illumination.
They shall not be named.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I watched the original of each one, and then I watched the new one that came out this week. So I saw the original Hitchcock Rebecca, then the...
Oh, I didn't know that was a remake. I didn't know that wasn't a remake.
Oh, you didn't realize this was a remake off of a Hitchcock film?
I did not.
Yeah, no. The original is a Best Picture winner.
Oh, so you're saying I should watch that first then, eh?
You should, because it's a lot better.
A lot better? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check it out then. I'll pick it up.
Yeah, which is funny because it won Best Picture, and I think it's one of my least favorite Hitchcock films. Like,
fair enough. Sometimes the ones that win Best Pictures are good but not great. Let's talk about West Side Story. It was good, but it was a Best Picture winner.
But it's also because, you know, Hitchcock is very horror, psychological thriller style, but Rebecca is horror romance. So it's kind of got that, like, that little romance with it, and that's why I think the Oscar voters preferred that over psychological thriller. It's more Oscar-baity.
That wasn't his only Best Picture winner, was it?
I believe so.
Vertigo never won it?
No, I don't believe so. I'd have to double check, but I'm pretty sure I heard it was his only Oscar winner.
Crazy.
Yeah, I know. I completely agree. It's a shame.
It really is.
Yeah, and then...
I've only seen two of his movies so far.
Psycho and Vertigo?
Psycho and Vertigo, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Movie. Yeah, it's two most iconic. Those two and Rear Window are like his three.
I want
to
see Rear Window. I looked for the birds at the movie rental store the other day there, and I couldn't find birds. I really want to watch that one.
Yeah. So far, the three icons are my three faves, but I'm slowly going through his film. I'm slowly going through all the films of his.
Yeah, they have a whole 20 movie collection there, but all of them are movies I haven't heard of. So he clearly has a lot of movies.
Yeah, I know. He has a crap ton. The next one I'm getting in a few days is Rope, and I'm really excited for that one. It's a one-shot Hitchcock horror film.
Oh, that's wild.
Which is crazy. There's a one-shot film from the 40s. I didn't think that was a thing.
Yeah, that is crazy, man.
Yeah. And, you know, sounds like a good story. I love Hitchcock. You know, like even his weaker ones like Rebecca and Lifeboat. I still like. He's a good director, but
yeah, he's most
definitely, you know, this remake was not a good director. I thought the direction was probably the weakest part. The acting might be better than the original. Armie Hammer, it's amazing. I just thought the dialogue seemed clunky, and yeah, you know, that's my quick review on Rebecca 2020. Go watch the original.
All right, yeah. I mean, I guess I'll check both out at some point.
Because it is a good story. It's actually pretty interesting. Yeah, great film. Borat 2. Both of those are great. We'll dive into Borat 2 later in the podcast here. But we'll first start off with another 2020 film that has now been pushed to 2021. We discussed it a few weeks ago. But now there's some more traction with the new James Bond film, No Time to Die. Tristan, have you heard the potential that it will be on a streaming service exclusive?
I heard that they were shopping it around, but no service wanted to pick it up. Last I heard, it's almost all but confirmed it will not be going to a streaming service.
Okay, I haven't heard any confirmation yet on it not being picked up. But
I saw it tweeted out by... I can't remember the news site that said it, so I don't want to say one in case it wasn't that one. But one of the major entertainment news sites, I saw them tweet out saying that it's pretty much confirmed it won't be going to a streaming service. I think the price, they were looking for, what, $600 million
yeah.
that they wanted to sell it for. And that's just too expensive for any other streaming services, really.
No, it's crazy. Yeah, so, yeah, that's what I was going to discuss. James Bond, they want to sell this film for, yeah, $600 million to a streaming service. Which,
like, on the side of a production company, I get, because they'd make at least that much if they went to theaters, right?
Exactly. And also, yeah, that'd be, like, minimum what they would make. Like, it's a guaranteed $600 million film.
Yeah, and so, of course, I don't want to lose any money on it. But, like, then for a streaming service, there's no way they'll ever recoup a $600 million purchase for one film.
Right, yeah, exactly. There's two sides to the coin here, where it's $600 million, and that's a minimum they would be making, plus it cost them $250 million to make the film.
And typically you are looking at three times whatever you spend on the movie in order for it to be considered a success, right?
Right.
Because I've taken the marketing costs and all distribution costs, all that kind of stuff. You want to rake in at least triple, that's considered a success.
Yeah, right? And Daniel Craig is hot right now. Knives Out, he was amazing in, and yeah. I don't even follow the James Bond films. I'm slowly working my way up. I've only seen the first seven, but I'm still kind of working my way through them.
Well, what are you on? What's number seven?
Well, I'm not going in order because I'm still waiting for number three to come from the library, so I'm kind of just dipping in and out. I think Live and Let Die is newer, so I think that's my newest one.
Live and Let Die, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that one for sure.
Yeah, that might be my newest one, actually. That's the one after Sean Connery, so I am on to the next guy.
Roger Moore, I think?
Yeah, that sounds right, Moore.
Yeah. I started the first couple of the Moore movies. I like Sean Connery better, for sure.
Yeah, I've only seen one with Moore, so I can't really judge on it.
I've only seen, like, two, I think. I only halfway through Man with the Golden Gun, and that's what I saw.
Oh, I saw that one, too.
I have seen Casino Royale, and
okay, well, that's like an unofficial one, so I didn't bother.
Oh, I was talking about the Daniel Craig Casino Royale. I've seen both Casino Royales. I saw the
unofficial one. Oh, okay, I got you.
And the Daniel Craig one.
Okay. So I haven't seen any of the Daniel Craig ones, but as I'm working through them, every time I write a review, I keep having people comment, oh, but wait till you get to Daniel Craig. His legacy is amazing. He's great. These modern ones are the best.
Yeah.
So this newest James Bond film, I really think it's going to be just as big as their most successful ones, if not bigger, because I feel like they've kind of gotten the ball rolling. And I think this could easily be a billion-dollar film.
Well, the only one that is a billion-dollar film so far is Skyfall, which was not the last one they made, but the one before that. So Spectre didn't do as good as Skyfall did, which is a little weird. So they don't keep growing. Like the newest one isn't the most successful one.
Right, but Skyfall's the one that has the reputation of being amazing. So you're right. If the first few weeks this film comes out and it's not that great, it's probably not going to get the buzz like Skyfall did.
Yeah.
Because Skyfall's the one I hear about.
The one I always hear about being the best one is Casino Royale. That's pretty much just normally you hear about the best James Bond movie, at least from what I've seen. Casino Royale seems to be the most talked about as the best one, I think, from what I hear. Yeah, Skyfall probably like second. I hear Skyfall too, but Casino Royale seems to be the biggest, most popular.
That's good to know, because that Casino Royale is the one I got on Blu-ray because someone was selling it for $1.
Yeah, Casino Royale. And it was good. I saw it. Like I said, I saw it. It was good. I think why these newer James Bond movies are better. I think one, Daniel Craig is a great James Bond. At least from the one I've seen, he was a great James Bond. And two, modern day action movies are just better than old action movies. The stuff you can do is, you know, practical effects and special effects and camera work and all that kind of stuff. And especially on HD formats compared to, you know, what we're getting, like, not even 720p in the older stuff. They're just going to be better action movies now than back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. So they are probably expecting, if not a billion, close to $1 billion. So it $600 million, it is super pricey for a streaming service. Yeah. But it also makes sense on their standpoint. But you're right. I don't think they're going to pick it up for $600 million. But unfortunately, I think James Bond might eventually lower this money, because a lot of these news sources are saying the reason why they're reaching out to streaming services, which seems crazy to begin with, is because all these constant delays is making them lose money. They have a lot of people that they need to pay back with this film. And so they're losing more and more money as each month it gets pushed back. And I think they might just be like, okay, you know what? Let's have a bid. Give us your best offer. Whatever the best offer we can get. 400, 500 million? Okay, go. Take it. Like, let's get this ball rolling.
Yeah, I can see them biting the bullet and maybe lowering the price on this. If they do, which streaming service do you think will pick it up?
Right, so the two that really seem interested, but they aren't interested for $600 million, is Apple Plus and Netflix.
I knew it was... See, in my mind, I'm like, I can see Apple picking this up, only because, one, they have so much freaking money. Apple has so much money, yep, as a company, right? And they just... They need stuff on their streaming service. Who has Apple TV? Like, what is on Apple TV that's worth watching? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think both of them. Yeah, I think both of them are interested in this, because this would be a huge franchise to pick up. If they can pick up that James Bond movie, we might just see every other Bond movie just jump onto the service platform.
That's the thing. I know, as I was trying to watch James Bond movies looking for them, they're not on any streaming service.
There's no service right now for them. So whoever picks this one up, they might just also be like, okay, and we'll throw another $100 million for the rest of the franchise. Like, let's get this whole thing.
What company owns Bond? I know MGM, but they're owned by someone, right?
Paramount?
Yeah, I think you're right. Why don't they just say, all right, we'll sell this to you for $600 million, and you get all the other James Bond movies. It comes with the whole legacy.
Yeah, and I think that's something that Netflix loves. If you notice, when Trial of Chicago 7 came out, all of Aaron Sorkin films were available on Netflix. And then Mank is coming out. So, whoa, what's on Netflix? Citizen Kane and all of David Fincher's previous films. Like, they love to kind of get that group with all the films. That's just kind of their thing. Which, you know, I was a little bummed that when Rebecca came out, we didn't get Rebecca, the original, on Netflix. I had to get that from the library. But, you know, I love how they bulk it together. So this is something Netflix would love if they threw all the other films as an option with it.
I could maybe see them doing that and still selling it. So they recoup the whole $600 million that they want. Or maybe increase the price.
Yeah, I think either way, if they lump all the other movies together,
that'd be huge.
Netflix, honestly, they could probably determine the price point. I think Netflix is in on it. They love getting the whole bulk. They would love to get a franchise as big as James Bond.
There's, like, what, 29 films now, if you count No Time to Die? 28 films, No Time to Die?
Yeah, it was something close to that.
Something close to that. Would it be unreasonable to sell that for $1 billion?
No. To be fair, though, like, a little bit, because that would be pretty much Netflix. That would be like, I don't know, a tenth of Netflix's budget for the year. And that is including making their own film. So, you know, Netflix loves going over their budget every year anyway. So I'm sure.
Turned a profit.
I'm sure they'll shrug it off and be like, all right, sure, we'll do a billion. But, you know.
Apple can most definitely afford it.
Yeah, and I think this is something Apple should be into, because, you know, their service isn't that great. So let's get
They need a draw. They need, I'm sure they have a lot of original programming, and I'm sure it's great, but, like, they don't have any established franchises or established properties that'll bring people to buy the service in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they
people
got...
People buy a service for shows they've never heard of before.
Yeah, they got The Morning Show, which was great, but I just used the 1 week free trial to binge the whole show.
I've heard good things about that one. That's the new Steve Carell show, right?
It was great. It was really good. But yeah, I just used the free week just to watch the entire season, and then I was good to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm not going to commit to that much. Yeah.
Franchise.
Yeah.
And you're someone who's into movies and into television, so you would hear about these newer shows. You think our parents have ever heard of anything on Disney on Apple Plus? Or is it called Apple Plus, right?
Yeah, Apple Plus. I would be shocked if they even know what it's called.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like
even our younger
brother, don't hear
who does watch a lot of movies and is into that kind of stuff. Do you think he's ever even heard of it?
Yeah, I doubt they've even heard of Apple Plus. So,
who's Apple Plus for?
I don't know. But I think having James Bond, at least a name, a recognizable icon.
That'd be massive. That would be huge.
Yeah, it's not anything else right now. Apple should be the one. Maybe they can just lick their wounds and bite the bullet and get the $600 million film here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they need something big to pull people on the platform. That or they're just going to, like, there's no way it could be a sustainable platform.
Yeah, an exclusive film for their platform as big as that one.
With all the other James Bond movies?
Yeah.
That would be huge.
Yeah, so, you know, if I had a guess, I'd say Netflix is just going to pay all the money and just pick up the whole franchise. If that, I do think eventually they'll throw the entire franchise as an option, and I think Netflix will take it.
Or at least all the Daniel Craig ones. It might hold back the legacy films.
Right.
I can see them doing just the Daniel Craig movies.
But
I can
saying,
see Netflix only caring about the Daniel Craig movies. You know what I mean? Like, how many people are really turning Netflix on to watch Octopussy? You know what I mean?
I would, because that's the only one not in the library.
The Man with the Golden Gun. You know what I mean? Like, are people excited for that? Is anyone real jazzed about On Her Majesty's Service?
Probably not, but I do think Netflix has started to take the route of going to older films. They just got Citizen Kane, obviously, for Mank, but they also got the...
They've been for a while, though, haven't they?
I thought they got at the beginning of this year.
Yeah, maybe.
And I thought it was in preparation for Mank.
Because I watched a couple years ago. Maybe I just watched it online.
During the summer, they just released all the Charlie Chaplin films, which is even older. So yeah. I feel like they like going to the classic well, just to say they're kind of the streaming service that has everything.
Yeah, that's true.
But you're right. The ones they would be most interested in is the Daniel Craig.
The Daniel Craig ones. All the Daniel Craig movies are big draws. Even Quantum of Solace, Casino Royale, Skyfall, Spectre. They're all big hits. They all made lots of money.
Yeah, and you know, I think the older ones aren't really considered, like, they're not really that highly esteemed. Like, none of them have that great of a score.
The Sean Connery ones are, but I think all the ones in the middle.
The original, and obviously, what's it called? And then obviously Goldfinger.
Goldfinger, yeah.
Yeah, those two are highly esteemed. But yeah, you know, the rest of them, it's a movie. Yeah.
They're okay. I mean, I don't love action movies or spy films in general. And old action movies are, it's just not as good as new action movies. Like, a lot of genres, the older stuff's just as good, sometimes even better than newer stuff. But action movies is that one genre that really, really benefited from modern day special and practical effects.
All right. Well, we can move on to the next story here. And you know, it's October, it's the Halloween season. And so, what better thing to discuss than horror films right now? Obviously not that many great horror films lately. Rebecca 2020 is basically a horror film because it was horribly bad, but nothing like actually scary. But we do have a bit of a news here where some scientists used some science with 50 participants to conduct an experiment to see what is truly the scariest horror film ever made based on using scientific data here. And what they did is they got 50 participants and they hooked them up to this heart rate measuring device where it can calculate how much their heart rate increases during each film. They got these participants to spend 120 hours watching the best horror films ever made.
Okay. And
so after 120 hours of watching all the best horror films ever made, they have the top 10 scariest films based on their heart rates throughout the films.
Okay, all right.
So, I figure this might be interesting. Maybe we can even see if you can kind of guess them here, Tristan, on what you think is the scariest film. I got the top 10 here.
The scariest.
Yeah, so the one that made people's heart rates just completely explode.
Was it the first presidential debate?
Yeah, that's number one. You nailed it, yeah.
That's the scariest one I've ever... It's the scariest thing I've ever seen. Say that much. No, scary movies, eh? Scariest film of all time. Well, do we know if they're watching these in a group or were they watching them in isolation? I feel like that would matter.
So what it said here was they were... I do not know. But it does say that it is from a range of ages. So they... It's not from, like... It's not 20 to 30-year-olds. They got a bunch of people. They probably got some 7-year-old. I'm sure they didn't. But they got... They
probably started, like, 15.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess a 15-year-old's still a kid. But, like, 15-year-olds are old enough to watch most horror movies. You know
what I mean? Like, I might even say they might have just started at, like, 18 when you can, like, give yourself consent to watch the film.
That's true. It's probably just easier that way. Yeah, they probably start at 18. 18 to, you know, like, what, like, probably 50s or 60s maybe.
Yeah, probably, like, 50 or something.
Yeah. Is Blair Witch on that? I don't think it's number one, but I feel like Blair Witch Project is top 10.
Blair Witch is not top 10.
Not top 10, okay. Is Jaws? I feel like Jaws jumped your heart rate quite a bit.
No, something that I didn't notice is a lot of these are newer.
A lot of them are newer, right?
Yeah, like there's a few oldish ones, but yeah, a lot did seem to be in the newer range.
Was A Quiet Place there? Because my heart rate was pounding in that one.
No, I'm with you though. That should have been there.
I feel like that one, once again, that's better in a group. If I watched it by myself, I feel like my heart wouldn't move at all. But in a group setting, particularly in a movie theater, my heart rate was pounding the entire time.
Yeah, in the movie theater, it was quite an experience. That's why I watched.
Group setting and how the room was set up for how they're watching it would matter sometimes. Paranormal Activity's got to be on there, right?
Yeah, that's number three.
Number three.
Or, sorry, it's number five.
Number five.
Yeah.
And Insidious?
Yeah, Insidious is number two.
I've never seen Insidious. Sinister?
Yeah, Sinister is number one.
Sinister's number one, eh?
Yeah.
I remember the trailer for that movie. The trailer for that movie looked awesome. I never actually watched it.
Honestly, I never even heard of Sinister. I've heard of all of them but the number one film, so clearly I'm uneducated.
It like came out, I think I was in like grade 8 when it came out in the theaters. I remember seeing the ads for it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember. The ads I've epic. Never heard of this film, but... Yeah, it's the one that raised the most heart rates responded to the film Sinister. And Insidious got second place.
Okay.
And Insidious had the biggest jump. Apparently there was one scene where the heart rates raised the highest, but as a whole, Sinister seemed to be the one that was the scariest. The other films we had here at number three was The Conjuring.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet. I haven't seen the Conjuring films yet.
Then we have Hereditary at four.
Really? I'm surprised Hereditary. Hereditary is a really good movie. I like much like how Get Out is a really good movie, though. But I don't think either one of those would be on this list. It's not like a heart-pounding movie so much.
Well, Hereditary is pretty creepy. It makes more sense.
Hereditary is awesome. I gotta watch that one again. That movie's so good.
Yeah, like Midsommar and Get Out are more like...
Yeah, Midsommar
is crazy cool. Thrillers. But Hereditary, it does have some frightening moments. Then at six, we have It Follows. At seven, we have The Conjuring 2.
Follows, Conjuring 2, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, right. You know, have a double feature with the two Conjuring films. You got two of the top 10.
I haven't seen most of these. I haven't seen very many paranormal films. I've watched a lot of the slasher stuff, but I haven't seen very many paranormal.
Yeah, I've only seen three of these. I've heard of most, but yeah, it's normally not my type of horror genre.
I mean, I guess they got a new watch list, eh?
Yeah, we should.
We're looking for some stuff for a Halloween night.
Well, there you go. Here's your five. Then we got The Babadook at number eight. The Descendant.
I've heard only good things about The Babadook.
That one would probably be the one I'm the most interested in.
Or The Conjuring franchise, only because The Conjuring franchise is so big at this point.
Or Sinister, because it's number one.
True. And the trailer looked dope. I remember when I was a kid, I really wanted to watch it, but I never got around to it.
And then at nine, we have The Descendant, and 10, The Visit.
The Descendant and The Visit. I don't know if I've heard of those ones before.
I thought I've heard of The Visit, but The Descendant seems a bit vague. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, The Visit sounds sort of familiar. Is that when we go over like the grandmother's house or something like that?
It sounds something where, they go visit something.
Presumably.
Yeah. You know, if I was taking a guess. But there you go. There's the top 10 horror films of all time, apparently. Maybe was a lot of 20-year-olds, and that's why the newer horror films seem to be the ones that they responded to the most.
Well, realistically, you're going to respond to a movie the most if you've never seen it before. If I've seen the movie before, my heart rate's not going to move as much as if it happens, right? I don't know, maybe it's something to do with more modern day music being more knowing how to, you know, move people's hearts a lot more.
But in fairness, Paranormal Activity is, everyone must have seen that before this experiment. Who hasn't seen that?
That's true. Honestly, they specifically got people who haven't seen these movies, you know what I mean?
Right. But I don't know how they would figure that out. Honestly, I think they just got the first 50 people that said, yes, I'll sit down and watch 120 hours for free.
120 hours? Well, I'm assuming they did get paid for this. You always get paid for this sort of experiment.
That's true, yeah. I'm sure it wasn't that much.
Which I would totally have got. It doesn't matter. I would totally get paid to watch.
Oh, honestly, if they were telling me it was just for fun.
60 horror movies, though, realistically?
Yeah, realistically.
And we know that 10 of them are these all 2000s or newer movies. So it's possible they just didn't really do that many old movies.
For sure. Well, they said they got the, what was it, the top, where was the list? They went to the top horror film list by critic list and then the Reddit forum. So yeah, they probably just looked at the highest scored horror film. So I imagine Psycho and stuff would be on there.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it didn't sound like they looked up top horror films from the last decade.
Yeah, like nothing like Exorcist would have to be on.
And they also said on critics list, right? So
yeah,
critics definitely love the older classics. Yeah, Exorcist or Psycho. So you definitely think they would have been on there. They probably just didn't respond to it that much. And also, it's based on, from the sounds of it, it's heart rate throughout the film. And Exorcist, the first half is all build up, which is amazing. But that might also just ruin the score, just because the first half, there wouldn't be any heart rates increasing. Paranormal Activity is constant, right? Hereditary would be constant. Insidious, I've seen it. Pretty much the whole thing's just all paranormal horror.
Yeah, I do think modern day like cinematography and sound and music and stuff will really play into that a lot. Whereas the older stuff didn't really use a lot of those like jump scare sort of tricks, you know, like the ominous music.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
which is why I like it more, yeah.
Modern heart rate, that stuff does matter, right? As far as...
Yeah, like jump scares is very common in the last 10 years. It's not really a thing in the older films. And that definitely just gives your heart rate going up.
And of course, like, none of the slasher movies would be in the top 10 here. They're just not those kind of movies.
Yeah, it's not one to get your heart rate going up.
If anyone's watching Friday the 13th and they're genuinely scared, I don't know what to tell you. It's not a scary movie, really. Not that it isn't a great movie. I love at least the original Friday the 13th. The second one also is quite good. They get a little shoddy after that, but
All right, I'll take your word for it. I haven't seen them yet.
I've seen all of them. Well, I've seen all of them except for like the remake that was in like 2009. I haven't seen that one yet.
All right. Well, a movie that we both have seen is The Covenant, Borat 2.
The subsequent movie film?
Yeah. The subsequent movie film. And so we're here to kind of, there's a bit of a, if you haven't seen the film, we're not going to get too much into the spoilers here. You should watch it. It's great. It just came out this week. Watch so it.
It's
yeah.
so good.
Yeah. Well, it just came out literally this week, a few days ago. So no spoilers here, but obviously, the big story here is the kind of final moment, and it's been trending a lot on stories here, especially Trump has come out and said he doesn't think Sacha Baron Cohen is very funny, and the person in discussion, Rudy, has come out on tweets saying that they manipulated what really happened and all that stuff. So before we really get into all this craziness, what was your thoughts on the film? What was probably some of your favorite parts?
I thought the movie itself was very, very funny. My favorite parts, I think when they went to the ball, was obviously quite humorous. I liked it when he gave her a cupcake. I thought that was that scene. And the following scene was very funny.
Yeah.
When he lived with those two guys, apparently he lived with those two guys for 5 days in character the entire time.
That's awesome.
Like, that's hilarious. That whole section was very funny. I thought the whole movie, I thought it was great. I was laughing the entire time. I thought it was very
Yeah, funny. No, there were a lot of fun scenes. I really didn't like the ball scene. I'm glad he brought that up. I don't know why. There were some scenes where it was just too cringy or too...
I love it. I love cringe comedy. I love all that. Just making people uncomfortable. I think it's hilarious.
That was not my scene.
The ball scene was funny. I see a lot of people saying it's like their favorite parts of the movie. It wasn't the best part of the movie. I thought it was funny.
What? But
when they were dancing, the ball scene.
Yeah.
I thought it was quite funny.
That'd be one of the reasons why I didn't really like the film. But
only one small scene.
But I did love the cupcake scene. Obviously, the scene after might have been.
Yeah, that's like the cupcake scene. Yeah. Just leaning into that scene.
Exactly. Yeah, it was all built up for that one scene.
She
it was perfect.
The baker to write "End all the Jews" or something like that on the cake.
Yeah. It was all great.
No questions asked. Just wrote it on the cake.
Yeah, just did it. She's like, "Oh, I'll put some smiley faces on it." He's like, "All right, sure.
Put some smiley faces on it. Make it a little happy."
Yeah, make it a little happy. Right? Yeah. No, that was great. And I also loved the end scene when he goes back to his village. And I loved the giant Karen chasing everyone. That was a good callback to the first film. So there was a lot of fun stuff in the film. And obviously the big Rudy scene, it was kind of like the Baywatch journey in the first film, where it's like a road trip to get to Pamela. And in this film, it was a journey to get to Rudy. I also loved when he was yelling out to Mike Pence. That was a great scene. But
that was awesome.
Yeah, that scene cracked me up. That might have been one of the best scenes.
Or the song he sang at the convention. That was good too.
Yeah, but obviously we have the big Rudy story here. What was your thoughts on it? Just without getting into the weaves of everything, did you think it was just playful fun, nothing to get too upset about?
I don't know, man. It's fucking crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy that they got this in this film. It's definitely the big moment of the film. Obviously, it's all set up for this moment, and yeah, it's definitely that's why it's trending right now online. Like, it is a big story. A lot of politicians are out talking about it. Borat has come out in interviews, and he's said, "If I didn't come in, trust me, like, clear as day, this was happening." Like, it's wild.
How old is the actress playing? Like, I don't understand. The character was 15.
The actress definitely wasn't, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, how many 15-year-old reporters do you really know, right?
Exactly. There's no way she was 15. She was easily mid-20s, late-20s, I thought.
But that doesn't justify anything.
No, it doesn't justify anything. Well, it makes it a little better, but... No,
it was crazy.
Still crazy. It's wild. No, it's definitely wild.
It's a great conclusion to the movie, for sure, as far as, like a climax of the film.
Oh, yeah. It was a great climax. And the entire time, I knew there was a big moment. And so when the whole film was about them getting Rudy, I was like, oh, is this really the moment? Like, I think that's what makes the film fun, is because everyone knows going in, or at least I did, that there was a big moment. Like, there's a moment that everyone's talking about. I didn't know what...
I had no idea.
I knew there was a big moment, and everyone was saying, there's a moment, and it will be talked about for years. And I was like, okay. Going in, what is this? I didn't know anything, but this moment, apparently. And yeah, once they started talking about Rudy, I was like, the whole film kind of got me into wondering. It kind of like built up the anticipation for me. I thought the film was done really well, where I know there's a moment, and is this really going to be it? And sure enough, it was. So I thought it was great. I had a fun time.
I thought the movie was fantastic. It's easily the funniest movie of the year that I've seen, at least. I haven't seen it, obviously.
It's definitely the funniest movie of the year. I think the first Borat is significantly better.
Like I said, I haven't seen the first Borat in years, and I truly don't remember it as well as I should. I'm going to go back and rewatch it probably within the next couple weeks here, for sure.
Yeah, I watched it last night, back-to-back, obviously, and the first one just surprised me at just how great it was. I thought it was more of just a nostalgia thing for people in the 2000s, and I was like, it's not really my kind of thing.
No, I loved it.
No, it was really good.
Like I said, I watched it a couple years ago. I was obviously younger than I am now. I don't think I knew that not everyone in the movie was an actor. Like, I don't think I knew that these were real people he was doing all this crazy shit to.
Well,
so I think that's one of the main reasons why I didn't appreciate the humor. Because it's way funnier this way. Those aren't paid actors. Those are real. That's the real person.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the humor of it. It's great.
Doing that shit. Like, that's wild. So no. I don't know if I fully understood that. And so that's probably why I didn't pick up on all the humor. But I do remember really liking it.
No, it is good.
It's a good movie. And Borat 2 is good. Borat 2 is a good movie. Just because someone says it's not as funny as the first, it doesn't mean it's not a great film. I thought it was super funny.
Yeah, no. And for 2020, it's definitely probably one of the better films of 2020.
And if anyone's, years, decades from now, if anyone's wondering what 2020 is like, that's
true. This is a pretty good 2020 interpretation.
Pretty much every major thing is happening. Not every major, but a lot of the stuff happening in this crazy year we're in. I thought it was a great film.
Yeah, so, you know, if you haven't seen it yet, definitely go check it out.
Sacha Baron Cohen's one of the funniest people alive, man. He's one of the funniest people making content right now. He's great.
He's great. This might be a hot take, but I actually think of the two films, Trial of Chicago 7 was his better film this month, but this was definitely the month of Sacha Baron Cohen. There is a new... So the next story we have here is a new app that you can now get for your phone. Fortunately, it doesn't really help us out in Canada, Tristan. But okay. For those in the States, you can get this app that lets you know if your McDonald's nearby has their ice cream machine working.
Finally
got what we wanted, yeah.
Modern problems require modern solutions.
Yeah, the app we needed that we didn't know we needed.
Yeah. We'll also tell you when your local McDonald's has the McRib back.
Unfortunately, no. It only tells you about the ice cream.
They should add that feature later on.
Yeah, and it was just some 23-year-old, I believe, 23 or 24-year-old that just decided enough is enough. Yeah, I need to know when this machine is working. So he just made an app.
Finally.
Yeah, so there you go. Now, if you're ever craving ice cream, before you head out and get disappointed, just quickly download the free app, do a quick little search, and you know, let you know if it's working or not. We need a 24-year-old in Canada to work on this and get us
one. Absolutely. This is a smart move.
Yeah, I wish I could test it out right now to see if the one near me is working, but unfortunately, we're in Canada. Doesn't work.
Probably not working.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. So, similar to the app for us, it's probably just not working. I'll just assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is funny how it's become a meme, but it is true just how it's always broken. And I don't know how.
You get there, and they say it's broken just because, you know, they don't want to have to refill it or make you an ice cream cone. You'd be like, nope, the app says it's working, you liar. You catch them red-handed. You know they do that sometimes. They just want to get rid of you. They don't want to make you an ice cream. Like, it's not working.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time to make. Exactly. So, you know.
But now you'll know.
Yeah, they can't trick you.
Anymore.
Yeah, that's true. You just whip out your app. It says it's working.
Yeah, that's... There you go.
Yeah, so every McDonald's employee in the States right now is just moaning in frustration. Frig this 24-year-old kid. You ruined everything.
You wrecked it.
All right, and the final news story here, another small one. We got a new Barbie doll, and it is a Elton John Barbie doll.
Elton John Barbie doll?
Yeah.
That's pretty fun. Well, that's not an Elton, it's not a Barbie doll then, isn't it just an Elton John doll?
No, it's definitely an Elton John Barbie doll. I'll quickly take a photo and send it to you here.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a Barbie that is pretty much just Barbie dressed up as Elton John.
Oh, yeah, okay. The glasses in particular, yeah, that's clearly Barbie. Like, that's Barbie dressed up as Elton John for, like, Halloween or something.
Yeah, exactly.
The glasses in particular are real Elton John-esque, you know, the big, you know, flamboyant glasses.
And also, like, the hair, I feel like. Obviously, this is a female version of the hairdo, but I feel like just the bushy the hair is, like, real blonde. 70s. Yeah. It's very in that style.
What's that, the boulder hat there?
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. The hat, like, definitely where it rocks the Elton it's John
like
look. New,
like, you know, every Christmas season, Barbie comes out with, like, a real collectible doll for Christmas. Is this, like, this year's Christmas doll? Or is this, like, an extra doll, and they're still having, like, their Christmas collector doll?
Well, I think 2020 is the year of Sacha Baron Cohen, so we should get Sacha. We should get a Barbie dressed up as
a
Sacha
Borat
Baron Cohen.
A Borat doll would be awesome. Her with, like, a mustache and the, you know, the gray suit.
Yeah, with the gray suit and little pins.
And when you undress her, right, because, you know, you can always, like, take the clothes off.
Whoa.
The doll. She's wearing the mask over her genitals like he is on the posters.
Yeah, that's right.
That would be great. That would be a great doll.
Yeah, think, or should they just go for the COVID Barbie where it's got the mask? You can put the mask on her.
The mask on her. Well, there's going to be two different COVID Barbie dolls, right? You got the Karen doll, who, of course, is against the masks.
It's just a normal Barbie doll without a mask on.
Yeah. And she's dressed business on the top and just sweatpants on the bottoms for her Zoom calls.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be the COVID Barbie, yeah, with the mask on. the Zoom call outfit. Very long hair because she couldn't get it cut.
Yeah, crazy hair. Then you have the Karen doll, right, which has the Karen haircut perfectly cut because she still goes to the barber.
She doesn't care.
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was trying to think of what other male icons could we have a Barbie doll for? Because Elton John, they somehow barbified it into a female Barbie doll. Is there any other guides we could create as?
Well, I think there's the obvious choice, right? The Barbie doll that all of the little girls want to be playing with.
We think of the same
thing? All the Barbie collectors want to have on their shelves.
Okay, we're on the same page.
The Well Dog Barbie.
Yeah, all right? We're on the same page. Well Dog Barbie. I wish she was here.
I think it's going to be very popular. You know, it comes with like the security guard vest that you can take on and off.
And then, unlike the van that Borat bought in the first film, he also comes with a pussy magnet.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. And, you know, hockey jersey, interchangeable snapbacks. There are certain types, ones that have the chin strap and ones that don't have the chin strap.
Yeah, and he's got mushroom blonde hair.
Of course, yeah.
No, he's got to have that.
I think the Well Dog Barbie will sell really well. As someone who has a 9-year-old sister, I think she would love it.
I would buy a Well Dog Barbie. I'm just saying.
I think everyone would.
Yeah, who would want that? That should be the doll of 2020.
The Well Dog Barbie.
All right, perfect. I'm glad we're on the same page. I like how, once you started warming it, I was like, yeah, we got the same guy.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe a Donald Trump Barbie could be cool too. Or maybe, like, with the Borat Barbie, you can also come with a Rudy Giuliani Barbie.
Yeah, he's hotter right now.
Exactly.
For this week. They should have made it just for this week.
Yeah, just for this week.
Yeah, I feel like in a few weeks.
Major movie release. Barbie comes out with new dolls.
Yeah, every week on Pop Topic, we just discuss the newest Barbie doll. The
newest Barbie doll.
Yeah.
Could be fun.
Yeah, that's right. They should have James Bond Barbie doll.
That would be cool. They have a whole like collection of them. You know,
yeah, all the different versions.
Bond, you know, Sean Connery, Pierce Brosnan, Roger Moore. You know, you have all the different ones.
Well, since it's still Barbie, right? It's the same face every time. It's gonna be the exact same Barbie doll. They'll just sell it 6 times.
Yeah. Well, different outfits. Come on, Quentin. It'll be a different box. Come on.
Well, I was gonna say, yeah. Honestly, they would just put it in a different box, and they'll just call it a different one.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't think anyone would notice. It's kind of like the Shreddies turning it a little sideways. You know, the Barbie can just like kind of move it a
diamond
little bit.
Shreddies, they gotta bring those back. That's one of the greatest marketing tactics I've ever seen. Was diamond
Shreddies. It was great. Yeah,
diamond Shreddies was phenomenal.
Yeah, the James Bond Barbie collection. They'll just like have her in a different pose for each one in the box, and it looks different.
Yeah, man, I'm in.
Yeah. Oh, cool. You got James Bond Barbie. Same here, bro. Which one did you get? Oh, I got the Sean Connery. You? Oh, mine's different. Mine's, you know, more. Not as big of a deal.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that is it on my end here for news. Anything else you want to discuss? Any new 2020 movies or crazy things happening?
I'm just really anticipating the next 6 Babysitter Guys to Monster Hunter movies coming out.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch the first one and the next 6, I guess.
Yeah, man, it's going to be good.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It's going to give MCU a run for its money for the biggest and best movie franchise.
Oh, definitely. And then when they have the biggest crossover event of all time with every different Netflix original babysitter coming together.
Oh, that would be crazy. Man, Endgame wouldn't stand a chance.
No, it would be the biggest film. Why did they even need to buy $600 million for James Bond? They got all the babysitters.
They got the babysitters.
Yeah, come on. Have you seen the original, the babysitters?
Not yet. I'm going to. Because I want to see the new one was a 2020 film. So I'm going to rewatch them, but not yet. I'm going to throw the action ones first. I don't really care about the action movies. And then I'll get on to like the genres I probably like a little more.
Yeah. No, it's great. Both of them are great.
Yeah, they seem fun. They seem like fun movies.
Yeah, no, I love it. They're definitely my kind of film. You know, more than Extraction or...
Yeah, Extraction, that's like the one really big film I still haven't seen. I think the most watched Netflix movie of all time.
Well, Spencer Confidential was also huge.
Yeah, I think that's the 3rd or 4th. I just saw someone tweet out, like, Netflix tweet out the 10 most watched movies.
Yeah.
Spencer Confidential, I think, like, 3rd or 4th. I can't quite remember.
Yeah, Extraction and Spencer are both pretty high up.
Number 2 is Bird Box. of the 10, though, I think seven of them are 2020 films, and like two of them are 2019 films, and Bird Box is the other one.
Yeah, it's just because it makes sense. Every year they're getting more and more viewers. Yeah, well, who knows? In another month, we'll have another crazy action film that I'm not into, but everyone else is, because everyone watches these movies, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, when an action movie is good, it's really good. But when an action movie is bad, it's... Or even mediocre. I just don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame Babysitter 2 isn't in the top 10 most watched films. Come on, guys.
I think Kissing Booth 2 was, though.
Oh, I could imagine, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was like 9 or 10. It was near the bottom, but I'm pretty sure it was in the top 10.
Yeah, Kissing Booth 3, that's going to be the biggest film of 2021.
Do you think, and this might be a little too crazy here, Quentin, that they could possibly merge the Kissing Booth franchise in with the Babysitter franchises?
Yeah, the two babysitters are going to meet up at a kissing booth.
I think that'd be a little too... That'd be so crazy. Or they gotta give these other movie studios a chance.
Yeah, the two of them meet up at a kissing booth, and then you see the girl from Kissing Booth. Oh, hi, I have a list of rules, and welcome to this movie.
I have so many questions and problems with those Kissing Booth movies. They're so... I have so many questions. Why were they at the grad? They didn't graduate that year. Why did they go to graduation?
You know, we should have done a Kissing Booth podcast. We missed out. Or we discussed one and two. Honestly, yeah. You know, the film, it's still, hey, top 10 most viewed films. It's hot this year. Yes. Yeah, we should watch Kissing... Yeah, we should do a Kissing Booth 1 and 2.
We already hated it on it. He's seen them both.
Okay, perfect. Honestly, I'm down. Yeah, we'll do a Kissing Booth 1 and 2 podcast.
We should wait till the third one comes out.
I was just about to say, actually, we should review them like the week before the third one comes out.
Well, I think after the third one comes out, we have to get the...
The trilogy?
We have to wrap up the trilogy. We have to tie up all the loose ends.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, we got to know the trilogy. Yeah, look at the full story.
The end, all right? The story is not even done being told yet.
Yeah, okay, I'll be down for that. We'll do a Kissing Booth trilogy podcast.
There's so much going on here. This is going to be up there with like the original Star Wars and the Lord of the Rings. It's one of the Dark Knight, one of the greatest trilogies of all time.
Man. Yeah, the greatest trilogy of all time. They're going to return to grad, even though they graduated 2 years ago.
No, they didn't graduate in the first one.
Oh.
This was my issue. They went to the graduation ceremony, but they didn't graduate. They were only like grade 11 or something. They weren't graduating. They just went.
Okay. I think it was because they were working the kissing booth.
No, the kissing booth was at homecoming. That wasn't graduation.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
This is my problem. Yeah. Why were they at grad? None of them graduated.
This is wild. Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about that.
Like, that's what I'm like, why are they here? This makes no sense.
All right, well... All these answers will be, hopefully all these questions will be answered in
the third, in the third film. They'll really wrap it up nice in the third.
Yeah, that will be great.
They may make more than three. I think this is based off of books. There's like 6 books or something.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. And we'll see you guys next summer when we discuss the Kissing Booth podcast.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. See you guys. Bye. Yeah.